Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. We appreciate the good song service. You know, I'm just amazed that so few people can be in church and yet we sound so loud. It's just a good place to be when you come and people want to sing. That's always encouraging for a pastor to get to come into a place, good singing. Feel like people want to be in the church. It just makes preaching easier. And I want you to know I appreciate that very, very much. Joshua chapter 10. What I want to do tonight is we're just going to look at some fun facts that science has a hard time dealing with. You know, sometimes you look at Scripture and it says one thing and science says something else. And the Lord warned us that we have to, you know, be careful of science, oppositions of science. And there's a lot of people say, well, I only believe it if it can be scientifically proven. You're going to have a hard time living as a child of God if that's the way you believe. Because, you know, for instance, you've heard me say this many times, God can stretch a dollar. Well, science says that's impossible. There's no way a dollar's a dollar. It's got 100 pennies in it. And, you know, it's worth only so much, but I have seen in my life where God take a little and make a lot out of it in ways that I just cannot explain except to say, well, God did it. And to me, that's a good enough answer. God did it. I don't have to know all the hows and whys, but rather that God did it. God fixed this. He's done that many times in my life already. God has fixed some things that you might say would be impossible, and yet God is able to do anything. And so, really, to have a good Christian relationship and follow after God, you have to be willing to accept things by faith. And faith goes beyond what science can prove. So that's why a lot of people today, especially in this intellectual age that we have, the information age that we have, so many people said, if I can't prove it, I'm just not going to believe it. Well, in order to be saved, you're going to have to believe something that you can't see, touch, I would say feel, but you can feel, you can have peace with salvation. But rather, you cannot see salvation. You can't see your soul, but you have to be willing to believe that God can do it. God will do it according to His Word. So there's some things we're going to read tonight that I find very interesting. Look at Joshua 10, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorite before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son," that's S-U-N, "Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher?" Now, that's not a missing book of the Bible that we somehow misplaced. That is just saying, look in the history book. It's written in a history book. I've had people say, well, you shouldn't use history when you preach. Well, God did. And so we should. And understand that history is just that. It's written by men. There's mistakes that no doubt have been recorded. But it is what it is. It's something that is somewhat reliable. And he said, go back and check the history books. This happened. It was written in even the history book. "So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." This is ground zero for the discussion, the argument of heliocentric versus geocentric ideas. And that's very big words, I know. And don't worry, I didn't understand or know what that was either until I went and studied it a little bit. But that's just the idea that the sun is central to the universe versus the earth is central to the universe. Now, scientists will tell you that the sun is central to the universe. There's certainly some argument for that, and I'm not going to get into it or even tell you which way I lean on that. I'm just let you think about it. I will say this, though. The earth was created before the sun was. Think about that just a minute. The earth was already here without form and void. God began to take, pull it and make shape and separate the light from the darkness and pull the land together. And then he created the sun and the moon. And so at least for some time, the world hung there without the sun to revolve around. And so here, the sun stood still. It stopped. The sun stood still. And again, I'm just going to leave that with you because that's not what I'm trying to address. And really, one way or the other, it don't matter too much to me. I want to address the thought of time and the Lord fighting for you. I want you to think about that tonight. Time and the Lord fighting for you. We are very, very busy people. It's not getting any better. And when I say that, I don't want you to feel nervous about that because I'm busy too. I feel like I'm busier than I should be sometimes. And, you know, you're doing something and you get 100 phone calls and then you've got other things that you adding to your list to do throughout the week. And I need to be here, but I've got to go over there. And, you know, I've got a surgery in Jackson on Wednesday and a surgery down at Ostner's on Wednesday. And, you know, separated, in two different directions. And I'm just busy. And I know you are too. That's the way we live. I don't want you to think it's that way 24/7. There's sometimes whenever my week's a little easier than others. There's sometimes, and look, I get off and I get my rest whenever I need it. Oh, I don't mind that. I believe God wants us to rest from time to time. But we are very busy. And most of us seem to be loaded to the hilt or full to the gills or however you want to say it. You got your little red wagon loaded down. Most of us are that way. And so time is something that we feel like we have to squeeze every second out of in order to finish what we start, in order to stay ahead of the curve, in order to meet our obligations. Because I believe this, Brother Alton, if you tell somebody, I'm going to do such and such, then you need to let your yay be yay. With all of your heart, you need to try to do that such and such. If you say, I'm going to meet somebody at a certain time somewhere, then with all of your heart, unless you are completely hindered and unable to, you need to meet somebody a certain place at a certain time. Let your yeas be yea, let your nays be nay, and whenever we don't, we are hindrance, unless we are hindered ourselves. And so, whenever we do have these different things we've got to do, we've got our deadlines, and as Brother Freddie always says, got your day planner going on and it's full to the brim. Look, to say I need to add something to my day, it's almost like, how do you do that? How am I going to do that? For instance, you know, if I say we need to study more, need to have a legitimate prayer life, what I call quiet time. I don't know if y'all have quiet time. I like to have some quiet time. That's my time, me and God. We get alone and we spend some time together. I like to have that. And especially somebody that does not have that and you want to start, that can be a little bit of a task. And you say, well, how in the world can I do it? And so the first thing we say, well, what I need to do is set my alarm clock a little bit earlier, get up earlier. And then I can spend some time with the Lord. Then I get my day started. And if you're not careful, what we'll do with that is we'll set it back. Okay, I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier. Or I'm going to get up an hour earlier. And I'm not trying to give you a time limit on how long you need to study. But you know, so I'm going to get up 30 minutes early. But then you've already got so much going on through the day. And by the end of the day, maybe you're able to do that a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. And after about that fourth day, you come, boy, I am wore slap out. You know what? I'm going to just let that alarm clock, I'm going to hit that snooze button a few times. And I just won't get my reading done today. I won't get my studying done today. But at least I can get on my way and get some things caught up. And maybe next week sometime, I'll get started back on a good schedule and I'll have some time with the Lord. If we're not careful, and I know I'm preaching to people, probably been studying, some of you have been studying longer than I've been alive, but if we're not careful, that's the first thing we neglect, is our relationship with the Lord. Seems like, to try to add these things, try to add something to my schedule, almost seems like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It just, how do you do it? Brother Mike, wasn't it Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, said much study is a weariness to the flesh? You know what that means? That means if you're going to take the time to study, it's going to wear you out. So what do you do? Well, there's got to be a sacrifice somewhere. I'm willing to make that sacrifice and just give up a little sleep in order that I can have that time with the Lord. Can I help you tonight to see that the one in charge of time can fight for us? He can also fight against us. And so what does that have to do with time? If God is blessing our time, then we are more apt to, we're going to get more out of it. You think, if you have a flat tire tomorrow, you think God knows about that flat tire? Of course He does. He's God. Well, let me ask you a little bit further. Could God have allowed that flat tire? Of course He did. It didn't just happen. God allowed it to happen. Brother Matt, could He have stopped it from happening? He can't He? God, He could. So God knows about that flat tire. God is involved with that flat tire. God could have prevented that flat tire if He wanted to. He could have. So if you have God fighting for you, then might be able to get a little more out of our time. And I'm not saying that for us to be greedy and, it's all me, but stop and think about that. The children of Israel, whenever they were wandering around 40 years in the wilderness, the Bible said that their shoes didn't wear out. Said that the clothes they had on didn't wax old. They didn't wear out. Who did that? That was God, wasn't it? What was God doing? God was fighting for His people. He was taking care of them. He was blessing them in ways that, somebody said, well, that's not possible. Oh, there's no way that can happen. It might not happen on that fashion with me, but I believe this. If I'm looking to the Lord's blessing my path. He's blessing my steps. He's taking care of some things. And it may very well be that I just get more out of my day in the limited time that I have if I put Him first. Okay, so no wonder He said this. He that gaineth life shall lose it, and he that loseth life for my sake fact. Now apply that to your time just a minute and think about that. If all I'm doing is trying to get ahead and I'm trying to do my thing, and well, I know I need to stop and address the Lord, and I need to go and study and pray, and I need to get on the same page with the Lord, but I'm just so behind and I've got so much going on I don't have time to do that right now. While you're busy trying to gain life, you're losing it. But if I seek Him first and I give up life for His sake, He said, you'll find it. The very life you're trying to look for, you might find if you give it up. And let God help you. And that don't mean we just lay down and stop. That means we allow God, we allow ourselves to worship God throughout our day. To have God work with us. That's what it says here. It says that Israel was going up against their enemies and they needed some extra time. So God just stopped the sun in the sky and let them avenge themselves of their enemies. And God did fight for them. That's a good deal. Sound like a good exchange there. Right? Look at Isaiah 38. while you turn it, I said some fun facts. Is time travel possible? There's a lot of far-fetched ideas out there, ain't there? You know, scientists today believe they're going to figure out how to time travel. Let me show you how God made that possible. Isaiah 38, verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now, I know Brother Joe come and he preached a message and used this and talked about how that might not necessarily have been a blessing for him because the rest of those days he used them for evil. And that's kind of beside the point I'm trying to make tonight. I want you to see this. God's in control of your days and he's in control of your years. And so ultimately he's in control of your time. And so that we need to take that into account when we're planning out our day planners. God's in control of your time. Okay, and he goes on. He says, verse 6, "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degree it was gone down." Ain't that amazing? You know what he did there? He backed time up 40 minutes. 10 degrees, about 40 minutes. So he backed time up for him 40 minutes to prove that he made this promise and that this thing was going to happen. And again, I know we say, well, that's not going to ever happen. Again, that's not going to happen for me. This is time travel, by the way. It's not like maybe it's taught in the movies. I'm not sure about all the physics of space-time continuum and how three-dimensional space and one-dimensional time, if you were able to fuse that together somehow, we could make a bridge and go through time. Matter of fact, I think that's garbage. But I do think God's in control of time and God can do what he wants with it. And because of that, Ahaz experienced going back in time 40 minutes, or at least the sun backed up 40 minutes, however you want to look at that, and he didn't need no time machine to get there, did he? Just an all-powerful God who invented time in the first place. So what's all that got to do with us? What Ahaz did with his time, 15 years, and I guess you'd say plus this 40 minutes that sun backed up, was some poor choices. He made some very poor choices in his time. And there was a lot of evil because of how he spent the remainder of that time that God gave him. But for us, with so much riding on my time, it's important to have God manage my steps. Bible says that a good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. It's important that I seek the Lord in my days. It's important that I seek the Lord in my minutes. And that throughout the day, everything I do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Because whenever I do that, things are a lot more efficient for me. It's a lot more of a blessing for others. And whenever we allow God to have the reins of our minutes, our hours, our days, he knows how to spend them a lot better than we do. Let God help us. And that's what I'm trying to do with this. I'm not trying to be silly. Some of these things just very interesting to me, and maybe I put a little bit of a spin on it. And I wasn't just intending to do that, but just to get you to think. What I want to do is encourage us. Let God help us take one day at a time. And when I sleep, maybe your sleep gets interrupted. You're laying there and you're wallowing, you can't go to sleep, and you're frustrated, and you're huffing, and you're mad, and you're snorting, and, boy, I can't get no sleep, and so you bounce around. You don't have to do all that. God knows about you laying there. Get up. Pull out your Bible. Study it a little bit. Have prayer with Him. Get things in line. God will help you get your day in line or your night in line or whatever the case may be. He'll help you get your situation in line and everything fall into place like it should. When we are worried about tomorrow, I'm going to tell you something, we don't have much business doing that. Let Him help us focus on the evil that is sufficient for today. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. Don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself when it gets here. And I know you say, well, you got to make some plans and you got to kind of, I understand that. But incorporate on Him like that turn. Make sure that you look into the Lord in those situations that you face. Life is but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. We can spend our life spinning our wheels, doing 100 different things and come down to the end of our life and wonder where did it all go and what did I do with it and why did I fail God so much? Or we can spend our days loving Him and worshiping Him in our days and doing what He wants first and get out here at the end of it and look back over it and say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. You see, if we're not careful, we say, I just can't afford to really seek the Lord. I've got so much going on. 100% of your time not considering God is much less productive than going through your days, all your days, heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to hear this. Bible says where the tree falls, that is where it lies. And that's just a simple way of putting when it's over, it's over. And for you, that if you're here and you're lost, understand that. You have time right now to get saved. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Life is but a vapor. It's here today and tomorrow it's gone. It vanishes away. Today is the day of salvation. And if you die lost, you die lost. You're not going to hop no time machine and come back and fix it. You're not going to get to walk through time or get to have a do-over. I think that's why a lot of people like golf. You get a mulligan. You get a do-over. You don't get a do-over in life. It's over. Wherever the tree falls, that's where it lies. Today is the day of salvation. Seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near. Trust Jesus in this moment, right here, right now. Trust Him. Let Him save your soul. And walk with Him for the rest of your life. We'll ask for something.